Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Antler Up Podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Antler Up Podcast, episode 242, and this episode's brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear. And on this week's episode, I was joined by good friend Jim DiAgostino. And this episode, we talk about our hunting goals, our plans, our gear setups for this upcoming year. This is always one of my favorite episodes to record because we're leading up to the season for myself and for Jim and for fellow hunters across the state of Pennsylvania that have to wait for the PA bow opener. But what's really fun about this episode is we get a chance to hear Jim talk about like how he maps out his season, because we've all been there before where we don't know what weekend's going to be great for us or if we have things going on with the family. So he kind of gets the lay of the land going with his family to make sure like everything is okay at home. And then from there, he talks about where he plans to hunt as far as which states, what kind of time periods, all that different stuff. And then we get into also some of the gear, because Jim had a unique kind of idea a few years back with how he likes to have his tethered saddle set up. And we talk about that and how he's really fine-tune that over the years. And then after Jim kind of goes, I discuss my plans for this upcoming season, my goals, and obviously what gear I've maybe keeping, some things I'm changing, those types of stuff. And it's just a good down-to-earth conversation. And any chance I get a chance to talk to Jim, it's always a fun time. So hope you enjoy this one. Get a chance to hear where we're at, maybe where our goals are, see if they align with some of the things that you got going on. Just again, we want to say thanks again for all the continued support. And if you're so kind, you want to leave a review, go ahead and leave one. We really appreciate it. It just helps us out. And if you like it, also share it with your friends, family members, all that fun stuff. And as always, if you want to watch the podcast as well, head on over to our YouTube channel. It's over just Antler Up Outdoors. You're going to be able to watch the episode as well. Also some other videos that I have going on over there. And there's going to be some new ones I'm going to have, like my talked about, obviously, in this episode, some of the gear that I use, but then I kind of give it a rundown more specifically on the YouTube channel that will be going up here shortly as well. So thanks again, everybody, for the continued support. Also, before we get into this week's episode, I want to talk to you about some of the new products that Tether just dropped. And one of them is going to be the UltraLock SD. So the UltraLock SD stands for the stripped down version. So I hunted majority of all last year in the UltraLock. When I got it in early October, I kind of transferred everything over into this UltraLock. But again, the stripped down version just means the sewn on pouches that you see on the main UltraLock, they're not there on the SD version. So if you have only one, say, cis hauler that you want to put on, you could use one. Or if you want to use both cis haulers, because that's what you have already, but you want the ability to expand your saddle, you can do that with the UltraLock. So it's the king of comfort. My favorite thing about it is I sit more than I lean, just because I like being closer to the tree. I just find that very comfortable. So for me, I like having that extra little bit of material that's going to cover my butt better. And with that, I'm just super comfortable. I could sit there all day. So check out not only the UltraLock SD, but all the other gear that Tether has. It's made by saddle hunters for saddle hunters.
I know that quality gear can make or break your hunt, and that's why I'm thrilled to partner with Huntworth Gear for 2024. If you're looking for premium gear without the premium price tag, Huntworth has you covered. And new for 2024, the Vertic pattern is a dynamic woodland camo pattern blending perfectly into any environment. Whether you're stalking in the early season or hunkering down in the late season, from lightweight options for those warm September days to insulated gear that will keep you warm during the harshest winter conditions, Huntworth has everything you need to hunt all year long. Gear up right now and head over to huntworthgear.com to see the full lineup.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show this week. And I'm joined on the other end by my best friend. I got Jim DiAgostino on the show this week. Jim, welcome back to the show, dude.
What's up, my brother?
Oh, man, just loving life right now, man. We're getting down to, I'm so pumped for this conversation just because we finally... We're about to be embarking on the whole hunting thing. You sent the message to us where we were like, hey, communication's key with the other ones. And it's funny because you sent the text message. I don't know how Brittany responded to that, but on the drive over to today for me, I was kind of explaining my situation and I got that look already like, you're going when? You're taking how many days? And it's like, so I said, why don't we, and I was very nice. I said, why don't we look at the calendar this weekend? We can map things out. So I was trying to be a little bit nice and like you said, taking care of business around the house and stuff like that. But we're going to dive into to some of our, I guess, our goals this year. We're going to dive into some of the gear we finalized on and whatever else kind of comes up with this conversation. So I'm pumped, man.
Yeah, me too, buddy. Yeah, back to what you were saying before, just communication is key. Just putting the dates out there. My wife likes full transparency. So if I give her a list of physical dates and when specifically the overnights are going to be, mm-hmm. you know, and I do that, you know, a month or two in advance, I'm golden.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the key is the, like when you're going to be away, just because I was trying to, like, she even said the same thing to me, Jim. Heather was like, write them down. Even if it's an overnight trip, I need to see them in writing. And like, even before I commit to them, like we need to see that way. There's nothing going on for Nora. Does my wife have something going on? All that type of stuff. So, yeah, that's critical. Get that stuff taken care of, because if you're already not hunting, or if you're doing an early season trip already, say to Maryland, like that's opening up this weekend and so forth, then, you know, you should already have been on the ball with that type of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of, that's the gist as far as that goes. But man, you know, a couple weeks ago, I would say, when did we record? July? End of June?
Yeah, I would say at end of June, early July, I would say. I think that was, yeah.
Yeah, and you weren't in the hunting mind frame yet, which was good. No. You know what I mean? It's you know, but now it's on overdrive.
Yeah, for sure. I got bit with the bug again. I needed to get that like crisp morning, you know, when you wake up for work and like you just kind of have that like smell is in the air.
Yeah.
And anybody that listens to this knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Dude.
Once I had that, I'm like, that's it. Game time.
Yeah. And it is in the air big time. I mean, yeah. Dude, you're waking up, it's 42 degrees at where I'm living compared to, it's probably a little bit warmer where you're at. But the other day it was 42 and I was like, let's go. Like I should be in a tree.
For sure, man. For sure.
So sweet. Well, let's get into this. Let's just discuss kind of the map of where potentially this season's going, just because you already do have it in writing basically to Britt. So where are you hunting this year? Just because I know we'll be together a couple times, but like, what's the game plan?
So mid-October to late October, I'm primarily going to be hunting the local farm that I have access to. I'm not taking any days off for that. That's just kind of like a weekend warrior type style. Try to plug in as much time as I can. Got quite a few good deer on camera, quite a few returning good deer, and I'm trying to capitalize on that. Late October, I plan on going up to upstate New York. I got some public land that I want some redemption on, and of course our lease that we talked about. I'm going to put some time in there, specifically like that Halloween weekend into like the early November time frame. Super pumped about that. As we get into November, I have two state land areas that I want to primarily hunt, up in Luzerne County, PA. That's where I killed my 15 point last year. Kind of want to revisit those areas. There's quite a few bear I have on camera already, and I am excited to try that because that's one thing I haven't accomplished yet as a black bear in PA, specifically with the bow, and that would be an all-time bucket list item for me. So I'm going to hit that hard. As we transition to end of November gun season, I'll be out up in the Potter County area, state game land, with the boys doing some group hunts again. And then as we move into like early December, finishing off again up in the state land into muzzleloader season up in upstate New York.
Yeah.
And hopefully by then I have a full freezer, a couple bucks getting ready for the taxidermist, and you know, a bunch of smiles.
Yeah. Dude, it's been a while since, well, what's nice is the fact that everybody in your household consumes the meat that, you know, from the deer. Mm-hmm. It's myself and Nora. My wife, just after the whole baby thing, just for some reason, I could cook it the best steak. Nora, the other day I made some backstraps that I marinated and everything. And Nora was like, oh my gosh, Dad, this is the best steak you've ever made on the Traeger, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, thanks, honey. It was so good. And had just like, I can't do it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I mean, and the good news was I tried a different route last year. Like I did processed a lot of my deer, but I also sent some of my deer away to just because of time and other things going on. I was just kind of supporting local, I guess you could even say. But it turned out good. And so this year, and the good news is by doing that too, Jim, I'm able to use it in different ways that I don't get sick of it either. So we used a lot of it, which was good.
Right. Yeah, no doubt, man. We definitely use every ounce of it here. We're getting down to our last couple of packages, which is perfect because my unit down here, but the farm opens up on the 21st. We get that early opener with the bow, so I'm excited there, hoping to throw one through it. At least a nice doe or something on the opening morning would be awesome to just get that off to the right start.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a bunch of tags for a few states this year, and I'm hoping to fill all of them.
So what are some of the goals you kind of set out for? Just because like now, again, to those of you that maybe did not get a chance to listen to that summer podcast that Jim and I did, you know, Jim, I was busy with baby doing some other stuff and you were out enjoying golf, kind of taking a break, shooting your bow. And after we shot like that last 3D thing, you were like, I'm going to put the bow away for a little bit, get it back out later on. And
Obviously you did do that, but like now that you had that cold snap, you know, hit your lips basically, and you're liking it, and you're figuring out when you're hunting, where you're hunting. Do you do any goals, or do you have any goals for this season?
My goal always number one is to fill all my tags and fill my freezer 100%. As far as like trophies though, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I don't set a goal for that. I mean, I still don't have 140 inch deer. A lot of guys bust my chops about that. I've shot a lot of good deer. I have a lot that are right in the upper 30s close, but I still didn't have that one. And that's my goal for PA as it was last year. I'd like to shoot 140 in PA. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I that's kind of like where I'm setting the bar.
Right.
And a black bear. Black bear is high up on my list. It's always been on my list, but I haven't dedicated a specific time to black bear. And this year I'm definitely doing that.
Yeah. The black bear thing is the interesting aspect, because I'm in the same boat with you as far as that goes, because years ago, it felt like from the 18 season until maybe the 21st, so like almost three seasons in a row where I always saw a good bit of bears, but not in the right season. It just never, never failed with that situation. It was opening day of archery season. It was opening day of gun season, and they weren't in season at that point in time. It was also October 10th or something along those lines, a week before you could hunt for bear with the bow. One would come in, and I was hunting over a water hole, and one just gave itself a bath and was chilling, cooling off, all that stuff. And then the last couple of years I've actually been skunked as far as seeing bear, but like you said, I really would love to get one with the bow. Especially I would take one obviously going out during the gun season with it, but yeah, I really would love that opportunity. And the hard part for me, Jim, is when that gun season rolls around that weekend, man, I've either exhausted all of my time with going away and doing a bunch of stuff, and I'm exhausted, and you just need that one weekend with the family and kind of recharge those batteries a little bit. And someone would be like, hey, do you want to, you know, join our group? We're going out for drives. And for there's that like, you know, Harvey Dent, you know, two-face in me. One side's like, I want to go. I want to get that bear finally. Mm-hmm. And then another piece of me is like, dude, just stay home. Just stay home. Mm-hmm. So I'm in that. That's where I'm at as far as that goes. But I really would love that opportunity to get one, like you said.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think in PA, if you were able to accomplish a black bear, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. But to do it with archery equipment, super rare, super hard to do. Although, you know, people look at Pennsylvania and they're like, there's black bears everywhere. And that may be true. But like you said, having it line up in the particular season, the timing has to be right. Get them within range. You know, they're a super difficult animal to harvest with archery equipment. Yeah. So I think that kind of sets some of the elite guys away from, you know, some of the just average Joes that go out there a couple days a year.
The one thing about bears that fascinate me is that sometimes, man, they sound like a wrecking ball coming through. Then other times when they want to be quiet, man, they are stealthy as all hell.
Yeah, man. Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah. There was something. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you before we get into like the gear that you settled in on. And you brought it up when, as far as knowing what deer are like you've noticed and already seen by glassing and at the farm. That is a new thing for you, because last year was the first year that you and Josh hunted that and are doing it again this year and saw some things that you're making adjustments, which is awesome. What have you learned from noticing like, wow, that deer stayed, or that is the whatever from last year? Like for us, because growing up unless we were spotlighting and doing that type of stuff, I didn't have really that opportunity to go glassing, right? To do that just because of where we've all grew up hunting. So how has that been a new thing for you? Like what, you know, have you learned anything out of that? Have you been able to like really like thought about how you could use that in other locations?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I've learned first and foremost that it's way more difficult than that people make it look on YouTube. I can tell you that much. You know, you and I grew up hunting big woods of PA, and that has its own style and its own level of difficulty. But I tell you what, this farm stuff is not easy either. I know that there's a, you see a lot of deer all throughout the day, and but they're very particular when and how they transport themselves from, you know, bedding to feed, and they're you know, the most adaptive animal on the planet. So like they find ways to stay alive, and they use terrain features to their advantage. They know how, you know, the humans operate around the farms and stuff. You know, they know how to work themselves, that's for sure. So as far as like the glassing and stuff goes, yeah, 100%. I never got a chance, like you said, to be able to sit out there with the spotting scopes and binoculars and like kind of pinpoint different areas, like on my maps, like based off of what I'm seeing visually. So yeah, I think a lot of that will translate to like Western style hunting. And I've noticed that, you know, that a lot of the deer that even return, not all of them are returning in the same vicinities, you know, like they don't do the same patterns that they did the year before. Some of them do, some of them don't, you know, and you just kind of have to make some notes to your, for yourself. I've been doing a lot more note jotting this year. You know, on my phone when it comes to, like what I'm visually seeing out there and kind of referring back to that. And it's interesting to see how some of the deer, behave from year to year.
Dude, that is such a good point, because I don't know how many times I've been out there and I'm like, oh, I'll remember that. And you don't, you know what I mean? Like that is, that's critical. That is whether you're putting it in your notes, whether you're putting it in whatever app you're using for a mapping service, whatever it be, that is really, really important to kind of jot that down, especially if you know you plan on hunting there for that season, the years to come, X, Y, and Z, you know what I mean? It's just, it helps you put yourself back. If your brain is like mine, I'm able to then when I see that picture, I'm like, oh, okay, I could then visualize being there whatever day scouting or whatever day glassing and so forth. So that is a really good point. And here's, I'm creating a goal for yourself and for Josh, and that's to actually kill a whitetail up in a tree this year on your farm instead of shoot one from the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, we killed four deer in that farm last year, and all of them were with the bow and all of them were from the ground. That's so which cool. Was pretty neat. But yeah, we should definitely try to do it from a tree this year.
I'm just messing with you. Dude, that's wild. Josh's story in general with the buck was crazy. So, he talked about that on the Montage Mountain one, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure.
Incredible.
Yeah. So if you're interested in that, where that one scored 149,
that was just under 140. Okay. as an 8-point.
Yeah.
So people know that 14-inch G2s, the deer was a absolute tremendous animal. And he had, you know, his 8th point was just a you know, little kicker. He's basically 135-inch 7-point with like a 3-inch point that makes him 138. That's as insane. An 8-point. Yeah, the deer was tremendous.
Yeah.
And that's the one that he set his goal out to, you know, to kill early on from when we glassed them when they were all in velvet. And that was pretty cool to kind of be with him along the way to watch that whole thing unfold. And he's got ice in his veins, man, to have a deer of that caliber step out in front of you on the ground with a bow and to make a shot like that is pretty wild.
Yeah.
So,
So here's, let me ask you this question. So you are settling in on some arrows and you've kind of bounced around a little bit because you're going to be, shooting a different setups and all that type of stuff. But where did you settle on your arrow setup for this year?
So weight wise, we're coming in like right around 470 grains, like 468 to 470. Everything's within about 2 grains.
And that's lighter than what you normally have ran in the past.
Yeah. Most of the time I've been right around that 500 to 520. Mm-hmm. And I've just been running some calculations with like kinetic energy. And I'm noticing that like, I'm keeping the same kinetic energy, if not gaining some, by shooting a little bit lighter arrow, just because you get more velocity. And I'd rather have a little bit more velocity for one flatter trajectory. So that way you have, it's more forgiving if you're making a little bit longer shots, you know. But not only that, you know, that of course deer, you know, jumping the string and stuff like that, you know, kind of minimize some of those situations. So yeah, 470, it's Easton 5mm. Tried and true, the Axis, I've been shot them for a lot of years, next to the FMJs. So yeah, 5mm Axis, shooting the Halo Nox. Really love the way they're flying. That was your recommendation. Those suckers are, for a lighted Nox, those come in about 20 grains, which might scare some people, but I tell you what, that you don't notice that weight at all. And because them things fly true for sure. Very happy with those. I'm shooting the G5 Dead Meats, the version twos. That's the slightly smaller, mechanical broadhead.
Yeah,
it's not the Mega Meats. I'm really, really happy with the broadhead flight there. Everything's flying right behind the pin. It's just a deadly setup. And I only use a regular standard aluminum insert. I'm still getting right around like 10% FOC. Mm-hmm. And the 470s, you know, I'm out of both my setups are still shooting over 280 feet per second. So, yeah. You know, which is in that, you know, to kill anything on planet Earth mode. So I'm excited. I'm very confident in my setup.
And that's running out of the Ethos, which you're what, a 29 yeah. inch draw or are you 28?
I'm like 28 and 28 and 3/4. I'm just shy of 29. Yeah. And that's the good part about the Elite Bows is that you can make those quarter inch draw length adjustments, which was massive for me.
Right. Well, being able to do that on those bows, especially like you said, for yourself, or if you're starting to notice like your tuning's not that great or whatever, just something doesn't mm-hmm. feel right, you're able to make those micro adjustments on that draw length, and you could really hone in on exactly to your liking. I mean, like you said early in the summer, that Elite Bow is a tinkerer's dream when that is concerned, and it's true. You know what I mean? The nice part is though, once you find it and you are in that sweet spot, set it, forget it, and you're good to go. I mean, I can't elaborate more on how easy it is to know that I'm working on my own gear. I can tune a bow easily, efficiently, timely, and be a-okay with my setup. I mean, from the Exalt, from my Arrow, from the Cairo, it's just everything. It's just so easy, especially with that set technology, because, you know, I have that paper tuner, you know, frame basically. So if I see I have a low tear left or something along those lines, I'm able to be like, okay, move my rest here, or, you know, make that shim adjustment. But with the set technology, I'm able to do that in seconds. It's so nice.
Yeah, dude. So I'll tell you, like, you know, aside from paper tuning, bare shaft tuning and stuff that I already do, when I'm tuning my broadheads, I don't like making rest adjustments. I'd rather make adjustments on the actual bow itself. And Elite allows us to do that. And I'm on the range, and if I notice that it's, you know, I'm getting a little tail right or tail left, like kind of flare, or if I'm kind of grouping a certain way left or right, then I make that adjustment on the set technology, just even though it's ever so minor.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference downrange, and you're not able to do that with other bows. You need a bow press out there with you, and it's just not possible.
Yeah. So whether you're in the woods hunting, or whether you are on the line indoor, whether you're on the course for 3D, like, that's the beauty of Elite. And I mean, obviously, I could sound like a homer, but man, those bows, and that's what I've been shot last year. I paid for the Arrow, all that type of stuff. It's not like I'm doing something along those lines. It's just, for me, they're awesome. And I'm glad you felt that same way, because I knew, just knowing how the bows that we've had a lot of success with in the past, you and I, they were very similar, and I just, things felt right, felt good. And then I was like, man, that's when I was like, dude, I'm telling you, try it. And you're like, yeah, this is feels right.
I'm a tough one to crack when it comes to bows, man. I, you know, shot a lot of stuff over the years. I kind of a stickler for what I look for. And it checked all the boxes. I can't, you know, yeah. You can't, the proof is in the pudding, you know. Yeah.
I like what you said, though, about you want something fast, but going to hit hard. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, obviously that's kind of common sense, but it's just, there was always that talk, you know, a couple years ago where it was like 700 green arrows and blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, like, there's people killing elk with a 410 grain arrow.
Sure.
you know what I mean? Sure. Obviously their draw length might be a little bit longer and all that type of stuff. But I mean, yeah, it's, I think that 455 to that 475 range seems to be, no matter your draw length, something that you're going to feel really good shooting and confident in. And that's number one. Like, if you're confident in your stuff, dude, you remember those days, like, look good, feel good, play good, like, no doubt about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Trying to think what else is on the, you're running anything, you are you keeping, what housing are you going on the HHA?
So I'm running the single pin right now, but I think I'm going to transfer that to the double stack pin
yeah.
for hunting season. That seems to be the go-to with the way that the speeds and the sight tapes playing out. Those two pins for me are going to be 20-40, which is perfect for the whitetail woods.
Yeah.
I can gap shoot for 30, so I'm liking that setup. Same thing. I'm running this. Well, I have the Hamsky Everest Rest, which is like the stage below the Epsilon. Mm-hmm. Essentially the same thing. It's just a one less bearing in it, and otherwise it's, you know, bulletproof just like everything else. Yeah. So I'm staying with that. Cutter stabilizers, shorter bars this year though, doing like a 10 inch in the front and an 8 inch in the back. I normally always ran long bars for stuff. And I was playing around. I actually have an option with the quick disconnects where I could run like no bar in the front, just run a back bar right. with like the little dampener up front, and it still balances well. I kind of like that. Carrying a little bit less cumbersome weight around, but also like the maneuverability in the tree is kind of nice.
Right.
So I'm going to play with those two options. But I think that's it as far as bow goes.
What about the saddle and everything like that? Because I know like from last time when we talked, I remember you're like not making too many changes, but you know, I think it is important because last time when we didn't really dive into it, but you know, just hearing your initial setup, just because there's so many ways you could skin that, and yours is not your typical like, oh, I'm just using the tether, you know, sys haulers and all that type of stuff. Like you have something specific that you've rigged up to your liking.
Yeah, I've put a lot of thought into this, and coincidentally, as I was putting this saddle together over the years, Tethered has already come out with options that are even better than what I've
right.
put together,
so,
you know, sewn-in options.
Right, I'll take that time out. So, like, as Jim as Jim explains his setup, the Ultra Lock, which has the sewn-on pouches, was not out yet. So, Jim, this is, like, pre-Ultra Lock. You designed this, and this is what you've been running now, and you found it to you found it to be really easy to use and comfortable and all that stuff. So take that away, mm-hmm. dude.
Yeah. So I'm running the Phantom Elite and it has, you know, like most of the Phantoms saddles from Tethered, they have the Molly webbing around the top. And so I found that I'm a big marsupial fan. I run several of their chest packs in different configurations for different seasons and different things that I'm doing. And I found throughout their website that they have several, you know, single pouches and things like that that fit that, you know, Molly style webbing. So I actually have the I'll start from the top. So I use the modular yoke that they have, which is essentially like their backpack type style strap. And I have that clipped into the Molly. So that allows my saddle to kind of, you know, if I'm unbuckled, won't just fall right to your ankles. Mm-hmm. It'll stay taut, which Tethered also solved that problem. In addition, as you move down the saddle on either side, I have the enclosed and pockets the side pouches.
Yep.
That they make. They actually made those for like the Upland vests and like some of their backpack features. I like them because they're very durable, but they're also very skinny. But still plenty large enough to be able to unzip it with one hand and be able to fit my full rope and lineman's equipment and stuff in both pouches. In addition to having a front pouch for like, you know, small items like a knife or my chapstick or like whatever other kind of stuff I decide to take with me.
Right.
I have one of those on either side, which again, Tethered solved that with their pouches that they offer near the Ultralock system. Towards the back, what I use for my bow rope is actually the eyeglass pouch that Marsupial makes. It works really well for sunglasses, but it works even better for ropes. And the reason for that is because, again, it has that that clip snap strap, if you will, that fits through the Molly. But the flap, the lid for it is actually magnetic. So super quiet, super easy. I could do it without looking. I can just feel for it and flip it open. And my bow rope actually stays nice and tied in and tight in there. So it's always a quick, easy access to go in and out with for that rope.
I like that. That's what I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. I love it because, again, it's I don't have to look. I could do it in the dark. I could just feel for it, flip that magnetic flap open and reach in and grab my rope. So it works really, really well for that.
Let me see that sucker. I like it.
In addition to that, I also use Marsupials. I have their their radio pouch. Mm-hmm. So for, I run a Garmin, specifically for like public land and stuff. I run my Garmin Rhino GPS. And I need a place to be able to put that and to keep it in easy access. God forbid if something happens, but also use it for like the mapping system. So I have that attached in the Molly web as well. And it just gives me like, you know, my saddle essentially becomes a full work belt.
Yeah.
And, again, all these features can be found in better configuration now with the new setups. But at the time, they weren't offering anything like that. So I kind of try to think outside the box and adapt. And I'm super happy with it. So I'm going to continue to run it.
Yeah. What's nice about having that, though, is, you know, now that you've built this and like you said, for now, you'll rock that. And maybe in a year or two or something like that, you're just going to be like, hey, I want to try the UltraLock, you know, or sure, whatever it be. And you can, but for now it's your system that works. And like you said, even with the marsupial gear enclosed packs, like you have different setups. Like I know you have one where it is just your 3D setup because of the way the pouches and things you have on it. You have your mm-hmm. whitetail setup in like basically you're up in a tree style hunting, elevated style. And then you yep. have your gun when you go on drives and stuff like that. Yep. But and then so I'm in that same boat when it comes to the saddles, which I'll get to in a little bit, but the Garmin piece, I don't hear as many people talk about that because I always think back to Tom, our good friend, Tom Renskavage. A couple years back, he was out scouting, I think it was, and he really tweaked his ankle like really bad. And I don't want to misquote him of what he did, but I remember that situation right there, like really did a number on him, you know, just in pain and all that type of stuff. And I think he did have his Garmin on him, which, you know, he was kind of able to get out there just because, man, some of those places we go are really remote. And I don't know as much information on it. And I wanted to look this up, but right now, if you are using, I know for a fact, if you are using an Apple phone, they have an iPhone, they have this new satellite connection now. So it's almost, I'm pretty sure like could potentially replace like what Garmin does. It's like basically the same thing, which, man, if that's the case, you know,
it's even better. Less things to carry.
You don't have to pay for that subscription. Sure. You know what I mean? Just, you know, those of you that are on a budget, you know what I mean? So, So that's just something that could work as far as that goes. But I'm pumped. You're running the XL platform.
So I have pre-hung sets where I use the XL platforms, and I use the Skeletors in a 4-pack.
Yep.
And on occasion I'll use a 2-step aider with those, depending on what tree it is and like exactly what height that I need to be at. But my run and gun setup is going to be the standard size platform, like the smaller platform, mm-hmm. and the 1-sticks in a 4-pack.
Dude, so 1-sticks and the platform, and then if, you know, the way you can configure, I know you have the fast pack too, then from Tethered. When you yep. configure all that stuff and you're not filming, dude, your setup is like 12 pounds total.
Yeah, it's crazy light. Crazy light, crazy compact, crazy small. I forget. I have to honestly, and I'm not even saying this, I have to like reach back and check my bag a few times as I'm mm-hmm. making my way, because I feel like I'm forgetting stuff because I'm carrying almost nothing as compared to years past.
Yeah. Anything else that you're using that's worth mentioning?
I think we covered it all, other than like, you know, we can go in for days about the different bino packs.
Yeah.
Like you said, I use different configurations for in the different pouches for carrying, like, you know, my sidearms and for carrying my different muzzle loader reloads and for gun season. There's a ton of stuff. People need to just get on Marsupa's website and check it out. There's you can get creative with their stuff, and it's really, I love how modular everything is, and I could literally take my same exact pouches from my Tethered saddle and put it in onto a backpack, or put it onto one of their, one of their strap configurations where I could run it as like an upland vest or mm-hmm. whatever. There's so many different things you could do with it. So super, super, super happy with that stuff.
That's awesome, man. Dude, I'm pumped for you for this year, just because we're going to finally be able to get that hunt together and do just certain things like that. So I'm my you know, personally, I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to, if I'm filming you or whatever, like for hunting near each other, that type of ordeal. I'm looking forward to you being either up in that same tree with me and we're cracking jokes or whatever. And I'm, or if I'm like 20 yards away and I get a chance to film you or from that angle or just, I don't know, dude, I'm just looking really forward to New York, spending that camp together up there and with Tim and Tom, hopefully the, like we have to have the four of us go there at least once, sure. All of us together. And then, yeah, man, it's a great setup that you have overall. Like I'm pumped that you are trying out those halos and that you really like them. That's something that last year was the first time I ran lighted Nox in a couple years, just like how you are this year. I got away from them for a while and MFJJ, cause somebody else I saw had a kind of spoke highly of them. And I said, you know what? I'll purchase them. I'll give them a shot. And man, I love them. I had really no issues. I made a dumb mistake for my micro arrows that I'm going to be shooting out of the arrow this year. And, mm-hmm. and I like made the dumb decision of, oh, I only have that whatever little bit to go. I should push down. And I bent it when I should have just twisted mm-hmm. it. And I was an idiot. So that was my sure. mistake. It wasn't, the halo knock itself. So I'm pumped that you're giving those a shot again this year.
Yeah. Back to what you were saying earlier about the, like goals for the year. And I think one of the goals that I forgot to mention, which is super important is, one of my goals is I want to hunt with my buddies more.
Yeah.
You know, that's, we got to, you know, it's every year I try to do more and more with my friends. I mean, the group hunting is my favorite way to hunt. Mm-hmm. As you know, I returned to those trips with the Harveys and stuff up in New York. But now to be able to do that more with you guys in the archery season is going to be awesome. It's just, that means more to me than shooting 140 inch deer. If I could yeah. hunt with you guys more, I would take that over a 140 any day.
And well, the hard part about that is hunting is a very solitude game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've said it before, I absolutely get amped up when one of my good friends, let alone an acquaintance friends, really has a successful hunt. I truly do. There's times when you're like, oh my God, if I have 20 friends, 20 acquaintances and 20 of them killed a deer and I'm the only one that didn't. Yeah. You have that like, oh man, that sucks. But at the same time, in that heat of the moment, I'm so happy for the person that killed that. And, it is tough because again, going back to it being solitude, you're by yourself. You have to be okay with, like I said to you, man, that means we're hunting together and you get the first shot crack at the first deer that comes in and I go second or vice versa. Like you have to be okay with that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's mm-hmm. because you're in that situation because you're there with your best friend or you're there with a really good friend or whatever it be. And like you said, dude, like those moments don't come around very often and you don't, unfortunately, like you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like, I want to be able to sit there and say like, we hunted together, man, from that tree. I killed something or he killed something from that tree. And that means a lot.
Yeah. We work really hard and we spend a lot of money and time dedicating ourselves for that, like 1 minute or less of action, you know, mm-hmm. and nothing can beat that adrenaline rush that you get, for that moment, except for after the fact. And if it's successful, and you, or even if it's not, but mainly if it's successful, when you FaceTime your buddy or when you get service and you're able to call your buddy and tell him like what you just did,
yeah,
you know, there, that nothing beats that. Like, you know, last year, you know, 10 minutes into the gun opener and I shoot that beautiful buck. And, you were the first guy that I FaceTimed. And it was just like, I was in the middle of nowhere, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm thankful I had a couple bars of service where I was able to get somebody. Cause I'd like to not be able to share that moment is, it would have been a shame, you know?
Yeah. Dude, that was so awesome. and then I call you, the day I killed my buck when I first shot the doe and you're like, dude, what are you doing? Quit killing everything that you see. And then 10 minutes, I was like, okay, I promise I won't kill the next thing. And then 10 minutes later I call you.
Yeah.
You're like, what'd you do? Yeah, and I'm like, I just killed my buck. You're like, shut up, dude. And it was, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything you literally, I don't think there wasn't a deer that came by you that you didn't put an arrow through. So
yeah,
maybe hold out a little bit longer this year. Yeah, but hey, do whatever you feel is best. Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue into my situation this year. So mapping out, I don't have the dates down. I know, like you said, like where you're going, planning on. For me, it's the same. I got Pennsylvania. I got New York, obviously, because of our lease. The hunting New York will just be our lease, obviously, for me. Maybe bounce around to a public spot or whatever, but I don't have any. If I go on a public piece, so that will be the first time that I've stepped foot there. So that will be a total new situation for me regarding that. So I'm kind of just focusing on that lease that we have. And obviously, Ohio. The reason why Ohio's there is because, like you said, hunting more with your friends. So again, good buddy Albert is gracious enough that he, you know, has a nice little cabin that we hunt together, create those memories, do fun things like that. But also, you know, I have the license already from turkey season in the spring. So the way their season rolls, it's from basically that springtime to the next springtime. So it'd be really dumb for me to not just buy the deer license, you know, the deer tag. And you know what I mean? So that might be more of a rut hunt again, doing that sometime in November. So I'm really going to really put a lot of effort into PA in October and do it, like you said, Jim, like the weekend warrior, but really be smart with those decisions and making sure knowing where I've scouted, knowing where I've hunted in the years past, where things get heated up, where the wind kind of is dominant and how it plays a role, that's going to dictate where I hunt and when I hunt. So that's going to be the key. And kind of our thing with New York is going to be, hey, either here looks like crap, there looks like good. So instead of hunting here in PA, I might go up to New York and do it that way. And obviously being able to hunt on Sundays in New York, if I go home on a weekend and hunt Saturday up the mountain and Sunday looks great up in New York, I'll just drive straight up north, camp there and go hunt New York Sunday and come home. So that's kind of the lay of the land as far as that goes. And then when you look at goals for me for this year, like you said, Jim, last year, maybe 3 fawns. I did not shoot every other deer. I pretty much did. I know that's not going to happen this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am sitting here knocking on wood, hoping that I see a deer night one, just because then I know that monkey is not going to happen. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, and if it's a nice big old nanny, I'm going to take a crack at her. But
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I could get a deer in front of me again next year, just because I feel like I don't want to, you know, blow it all on last year. So my goal for this year is just to honestly continue to have fun and to continue to let the cards play the way they're going to be played. If that means I have to stay home a weekend or stay home because the family needs me more than the woods do, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm okay with that. And I put in a little bit of work, not as much work as I did last year, but I think I'm still confident. And I mean, ultimately my goal is just like you said, to put some deer down. If I fill every tag, awesome. If I don't, okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really don't have that true, man, I want a booner in Ohio or whatever like that. Like I want to be, honestly, I want to kill a whitetail out of state. That's a goal. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Like I want to kill a deer out of state and you know what I mean? I don't want to take another trip out and then come home empty handed. That's sure. For dang sure.
That's a good goal, man. That's a good goal.
Cause I feel like I made progress, no doubt, as an individual, as a woodsmanship, you know, individual, as a hunter, I feel like I've made strides and I'm comfortable with where I'm at. And if things fall the way they fall this year, then so be it. I'll embrace it and I'll work on it to improve. That's it. And like you said, yeah. I want to hunt with my buddies.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, putting yourself in the right situation is where, you know, all your hard work and woodsmanship comes into play. But at the end of the day, Lady Luck still has to play a factor.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
So. Yes. And then for gear this year, still rappelling. So nothing changing on that front. Still doing the small platform. If I have the opportunity to run the Predator V, the new tether platform, which has a little angled front to it, a little different shape to it as well, and a stomp pad on top. It's just basically, you know, re-engineering, evolving, and that's something that Tethered's very is a very important core value to them, is evolving. And that's, it's a sweet platform. I have, was able to get my hands on it at the expo recently and saw what that looks like. It's really sweet. I think certain aspects, if you're looking for something new, that's a great, you know, great platform to look at. So maybe I'll have one here in a couple of weeks, but also, man, that carbon regular size one is something that I've been wanting since I saw it at ATA in 21. Like, knowing that that was a possibility of coming out, it's a two pound platform. You could run that all year. But I love that regular size platform. And so staying with that for right now at the moment is the OG Predator. And then one sticks, still using the Backwoods Mobile GC1 Aider. So it's a three-step Aider. I could put it up the stick as high as I can tie it off. That's not changing. Camera setup, that is a little bit changing. I'm still running my Sony AX43 as my main camera, but I picked up one of those painted arrow straps, and it's like a Mag Pro, so it's like magnetic base to it. And I picked up another base for it, basically, that just magnetizes to it on top. And that's where my Insta360 camera is going to go, because it's just super easy. Just strap it. It's like a ratchet strap, basically, but a buckle. So it clips, and then you just tighten it down, magnetic, throw that on, and there's your 360 second angle camera. So that changed for me. It's a slick little piece of gear. And then arrow, like bow, like, so the hunting setup, that like gear wise, that as far as that goes, nothing changes. Ultra lock, using that, I might tinker with a different lighter setup with the SD version. So I might have like one of the pouches of like the lockdown or the ultra lock pouches on one side, and then a regular sys hauler on the other side of me. So that could be a potential run as well, just to tinker with something different. And then my bow, be running the Elite Era again this year. I love the weight of it. I love, like, just something light. It balances great with just like a 10 inch stabilizer out front. I don't need anything in the back. And I'll be running, let me grab it. Actually, it's right here. I'll be running the, Ultra Arrow, the 0.16s. So 166 is, there we go. And so I got a really cool, the boutique, I got the Kill Your Idols, if it will go in focus there, wrap, which is a design that we did, which is really awesome. I got the tack vane, but then instead of running the collars, I ended up picking up from Podium Archer, so MFJJ out there in Spokane, I picked out his half out. I'm a big fan of half outs instead of like a collar. I just find it that you get less wobble with the half out. And I just, man, you shoot the arrow maybe a couple times or whatever, a bunch of times into your target with the collar on, you spin your arrow again, it just wobbles. I just never, no matter the brand, I've never had really any luck with it. So I'm a big fan of the half outs. And that even dates back to using the Easton Access 5mm, dude. So I think this weighing in with the lighted knock is going to come in at like 470. So I'm very happy with that. Again, I would like to have been around a little bit lighter, but using that lighted knock is what bumped me up. So like you said, man, something a little faster, something that's going to pack a punch. I'm going to use those Grim Reaper broadheads, but also I'm going to try the Slick Trick torch mechanical. So it's kind of like just a two blade, the way it opens up. And I've seen some pretty good reviews as far as, testimonials go on that. So just going to tinker around with those as well, just to see how they fly, how they shoot. And, if the doe walks around and wants to try it out, she'll get one. So
I like it. I like it. That's cool. Our arrows come in pretty much exactly the same weight.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a good place to be. You want to shoot the heaviest thing you can, the fastest that you can.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to find out that 450 to 480 range is like kind of a sweet spot for feet per second and for kinetic energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the way these wraps look. Mike from the boutique does a phenomenal job with those. So if you're into wraps or anything along those lines, like, he has some basic ones that you could just order from him, or if you want something custom, he does do it. And that's, it was really cool though, because on these ones, obviously the Kill Your Idols logo with the skull has the Antler Up teardrop like tattoo. Mm-hmm. And on the skull, yep, it has the knife going through the top of the head and then an arrow through the mouth. And then it going along the skull, it says Kill Your Idols. And then, so when I sent him the logo, he's like, what do you want done on it? And I was like, I don't know, man, like, be cool with mountains or something along those lines. So he threw on some mountains with some clouds, and I wanted gray, like a light color for blood and all that type of stuff. And he crushed it, man. I love it.
Yeah. Looks awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, dude, like nothing too crazy as far as the gear is concerned. And man, I just, I want to enjoy the season again. You and I talked before last season, sometime in like the end of the season, going into the winter, and it stuck with me. Like, it really, really did. And we were just like, it feels different. We're just positive. There was no negative. It just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it, and they carried over into the daily lives, and into our friendships, into our friendship, into the hunting season. And I'm just trying to bottle up that mojo and keep it there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just trying to stay positive and just have fun with it. You know, don't overpressure ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Work hard, but like, you know, work, but be smart about it. And yeah, man, that's it. Stay loose.
Stay loose. I can't wait. We need to get Bill Harvey back on.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I don't know if he still does podcasts or not. I know his dad's kind of taking the reins there. He's doing a phenomenal job over there at the Pertinier Outdoors podcast. But Billy, yeah, he's a voice. He's got a face for radio, you know, so we got to get him back on here.
Yeah. I know, man. Well, dude, how about friggin' Tim right now? Tim's up in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. Our buddy Tim, he's actually, I spoke to him earlier today. He was in Denver, taking like a little bit of a lunch break and a break from driving. And he's going to be working his way into the mountains here probably actually tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
He's going to scout tomorrow. Thursday and Friday are going to be scouting days for him. And then Saturday morning's go time. So he's got a high country mule deer tag, high country rifle mule deer tag. In Colorado, in a unit that he's been waiting for a long, long time. And it's like a once in a lifetime tag. So I'm hoping to get a good phone call from him.
Yeah, dude, no doubt. Well, I talked to him on Sunday. I talked to him Sunday when I was coming back from back at home, visiting with dad and everything. And he seemed to be in good spirits. So I was really, really excited to hear from him. And I wished him good luck. And I said, make sure that Garmin's working, and we want to hear when the good news happens, no doubt.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Dude, I'll tell you what, the one takeaway that I'm looking at these eyeglass pouches, just because of certain setups that I might run, I might get one of these pouches. I like it. Cause then, you know, we do it. It's I could use it in the summer for 3D. You know what I mean?
100%. So that was my thing. It was a lot of the marsupial stuff is, transfers from season to season and from you know, from one setup to the other. Right. You know, I use some things for 3D for my archery, like tree setup, or I use some things for when I'm doing things on the ground or if I'm muzzleloader hunting. The other pouch that I picked up that I really love is the one that it hangs underneath. I forget the name of it. Forgive me for that, but it hangs underneath the bottom of your chest pack, and it's specifically meant for like the bullets and stuff. You might be able to pull it up on the website there.
Yeah.
And that one there is that was been phenomenal too for carrying extra ammo and the reloads for specifically for muzzleloader season.
Is that the Down Under pouch?
Yeah, that's it. That's the one
from Down Under. Cool. Yeah.
And if you look at that one closely, that could be utilized in other ways too, also on your saddle. You can get creative with a lot of the stuff they have there.
I'll give another plug since I'm looking at it right now online is the cell phone pouch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh yeah, I love that all for all 3D season. I might use it for hunting too.
Dude, for 3D season, for scouting, like just because you're always, you know, you're reaching in your pocket and your leg, if it's wet out, you're walking through the brush, and you know what I mean. It's just and it's right there by the chest. It's that is also a sweet piece of gear to add. Yeah, dude, I'm pumped for us this year. We have many opportunities to get together. We have opportunities to, you know, potentially hunt some good deer. I know you do. I'm still waiting for deer to show up on cameras.
We got some really good ones at our lease in New York, man. It's gonna be. We got quite a few shooters, but there's one in particular that's just, well. Hopefully he comes by again. We'll leave that for.
I'm gonna kill him.
We'll leave that for another day.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna kill him. So real quick, real funny story. Jim and I were talking on the telephone the other day, and he asked me, because I think, would you say that November 1st or 2nd, whatever you guys...
Yeah, Halloween weekend into November 1st, I'm going to be going up there.
So that is one Saturday already. Later on in the evening, my wife's cousin is getting married, and she's younger, and I thought I was getting out of it. I really did. Starting like last year when
gets married in the middle of hunting season.
That's what I'm saying. So I thought I was getting out of it. And one day Heather's like, well, we're going to that. I was like, wait, what? I had a little moment. So
yeah,
obviously I'm going to the wedding. Happy life, happy wife, happy life type of ordeal. And you're like, hey, we're going to go up there. And you're like, I'm going to kill the giant. I was like, not if I kill him first, like go a week prior or something. It was just funny. You know what I mean? It's just good banter, man. But no, dude, I'm pumped. We need to get together before the season even starts, or do an early season down by you and get a chance to hang out before the craziness really ensues.
Yeah, man. Excited.
I like it. Well, go follow Keystone Precision Gunsmith, because he kills everything with his gun anymore.
No, I'm gonna change my Instagram handle. Dude, hopefully we put my luck back in the bow season this year, and I can get back on the horse with that. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I'm just busting. But yeah, so check Jim out, Keystone Precision Archery. Hopefully, maybe next year you'll have time to work on some people's stuff again at some point in time. But you're getting there, man. You're busy. But if you have other questions like bow setups, arrow setups, those type of things, for sure hit Jim up. He loves talking about that. And man, I'm good luck to you, obviously, this year. And those of you listening, I'm telling you, if you still need work done on your bow, go do it right now. Do not wait. Yeah. Do not wait. I mean, you're already cutting it close. So please, please, please go get that done as soon as possible, because you're probably, if you're going to take it to a busy shop, you're probably not going to have it back by the opener. So
yeah.
Anything else? Last words?
That's it, man. Feed them.
Feed them. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Go Wild, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.